Shrindatam Svatata Krishna Vindushravana Kirtana Vidanta Shtoya Bhadrani Vinomuti Sudishatam Shrindatam
Shrindatam
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Shrinivasam Those who have developed the urge to hear the message
Those who have developed the urge to hear the message.
Svakata.
His own words.
Krishna.
Krishna.
Personality of Godhead.
Personality of Godhead.
Punya.
Punya.
Virtues.
Virtues.
Shravana.
Shravana.
Hearing.
Hearing.
Kirtana.
Kirtana.
Chanting.
Chanting.
Vidyanta.
Vidyanta.
Staha,
staha,
within one's heart.
Within one's heart.
He, certainly.
Certainly.
Bhadrani,
Bhadrani.
Desire to enjoy matter.
Desire to enjoy matter.
Viduroti.
Viduroti.
Lenses. Sudit.
Sudit.
Benefactor.
Benefactor.
Satam.
Satam.
Of the truthful.
Of the truthful.
Translation, Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, the Supersoul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire from material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee, who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Therefore, the messages of the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, are not different from him. Whenever, therefore, offenseless hearing, glorification of God are undertaken, it is to be understood that Lord Krishna is present there in the form of transcendental sound, which is as powerful as the Lord personally. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshashtaka declares clearly that the holy name of the Lord has all the potencies of the Lord, and that he has endowed his innumerable names with the same potency. There is no rigid picture of time. Anyone can chant the holy name with attention and reverence at his convenience. The Lord is so kind to us that he can be present before us personally in the form of the transcendental sound. But unfortunately, we have no taste for hearing and glorifying the Lord's name and activities. We've already discussed developing a taste for hearing and chanting the holy sound. It is done through the medium of service to the pure devotee of the Lord. The Lord is reciprocally respondent to his devotees. When he sees the devotee is completely sincere in getting admittance to the transcendental service of the Lord, and has thus become eager to hear about him, the Lord acts from within the devotee in such a way that the devotee may easily go back to him. The Lord is more anxious to take us back into his kingdom than we can desire. Most of us do not desire to go at all to go back to Godhead. Only a very few men want to go back to Godhead. But anyone who desires to go back to Godhead, Sri Krishna helps in all respects. One cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless one is perfectly cleared of all sin. The material sins are products of our desires, the loaded over material nature. It is very difficult to get rid of such desires. Women and wealth are very difficult problems for the devotee making progress on the path back to Godhead. Many stalwarts in the devotional line fell victim to these allurements and thus retreated from the path of liberation. But when one is helped by the Lord himself, the whole process becomes as easy as anything by the divine grace of the Lord. To become restless in the contact of women and wealth is not an astonishment, because every living being is associated with such things from a remote time, practically immemorial, and it takes time to recover from this foreign nature. But if one is engaged in hearing the glories of the Lord, gradually he realizes his real position. By the grace of God, such a devotee gets sufficient strength to defend himself from the state of disturbances. And gradually all disturbing elements are eliminated from his mind. Translation. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who was the Paramatma, supersoul in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Oma Vyan Tivarandasya Vinangya Shalakaya Chusunyanitam Jinatas Mahasi Vinapinkara Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Shavitam Jain Bhutalai Swayam Rupa Dhamayam Dhati Shvatam Dikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shavita Dada Shiva Sasibu Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Rama Hare So here we hear the science of devotional service to the Lord. Prabhupada once stated that Krishna consciousness is a science, actually. I think in the Gita, Krishna says of sciences, he is the science itself. So Prabhupada says science means that you have a hypothesis, you have like a theory, then you have practice, and then you have the result. This is science. Just like in modern science, they have a hypothesis, and then they carry out the experiment to prove it, and then they get the result. Their hypothesis is that water is composed of H2O. So two molecules of hydrogen and one molecule of oxygen. H2O. It's just theory. It's just ink on paper. But science means that you have to have evidence. So what you do is you take two molecules of hydrogen and you combine them with one molecule of oxygen and you get a drop of water. You get some water like this. This is the scientific. So we always hear scientific evidence. So our philosophy is that if one applies this technique of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Shmaranam, Vadasevanam, Archanam, Vandam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atman, Nivedanam, then the heart will become cleansed and one's love for God will be awakened. You have to go through the process, just like sometimes people challenge. If there's God, then show me God. Well, we can show you, sir, but are you prepared to undergo the process for cleansing the heart and awakening again your spiritual senses to see the Lord? You can see the Lord just like you're seeing me, but you have the qualifications. It's like Prabhupada sometimes used the analogy that you may want to see the President of America, but what is your qualification? Not anyone. Hardly anyone can actually have a private audience with the President of America. Perhaps his family members, a few close members of parliament and so forth and so on like that. So it's a question of qualification. So our proposal is that if you engage in this process, heart will become cleansed of lust and anger and greed, and your divine nature will manifest. You will get the eyes to see God. Pimanjani Churati Bhakti Vilochanena. But whether they're prepared to accept the process, that's another thing. But this process has been practiced since time immemorial, as Krishna says to Arjuna, as the ancients acted in this process of devotional service. So you should also act. And we see here, this verse was spoken by Shukadeva Goswami 5,000 years ago. And he's recommending that to cleanse the heart of all material enjoyment, which is the obstacle for awakening our transcendental state, one is encouraged to hear transcendental sound vibration, which concerns the messages of Godhead, to hear about Krishna, his name, his fame, his form, his paraphernalia, his pastimes. This is called Shabda Brahma, transcendental sound vibration. If one hears this sound vibration, it cleanses the heart. The most effective means of cleansing the heart. So this is the message 5,000 years ago. And this was repeated 500 years ago with even more emphasis. by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who encouraged us, Hariyanam, 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 Yipa Kevalam, Kaloa, Nashdeva, 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 quoting from Brihad Narayan Puran, that in the Kali Yuga, the most effective means, again, is to hear the message of Godhead, to hear the, specifically the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. This will effectively cleanse the heart. He used the word chaito dharpana marjana, the phrase in which Shastra bears, of cleansing the heart of all nasty, dirty things, which are obstacles in the path of Godhead. That part is there. That opportunity is there. But understanding the nature of people in Kali Yuga, although the process is very simple, even if it's so simple, people have difficulty applying it. Mahaprabhu states in his Shikshastakam prayers that, O my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction upon the living entities. Thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda, etc. You've invested all your transcendental energies in the chanting of the world. You make approach to you so easy. But unfortunate as I am, I have no attraction. This is our fallen condition. Two things are required. The initiative of the devotee and the mercy of the Lord. That's nicely described by Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur when he discusses the gradual concentration. I already lost concentration. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, he states in the pastime of the binding of Krishna by Mother Yashoda, the Damodar Leela, which we speak often about in Kartik season. That's the month of Damodar, where baby Krishna was trying to run away in fear from Mother Yashoda, so she tried to capture her little son, and she tried to bind him with the rope and tie him to the mortar so he wouldn't be melting. Had difficulty catching him. Finally she caught him. She put the rope to tie him, but it was always 2 inches too short. She put add more rope, 2 inches too short, and add more rope, 2 inches too short. So finally, Krishna allowed to be captured by the love of his devotee, and she tied the rope. And Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur stated that those 2 inches were eventually covered by two things. Number one, her initiative, her desire, and the mercy of the Lord. So two things are required for our success in Krishna consciousness. Our own initiative and the mercy of Krishna. And this is our good fortune, because the yogis and the jnanis are left to themselves to be successful in their spiritual pursuits. When the yogi engages in his process of meditation, performing great austerities and penances, etc., he's all alone in his endeavor to achieve success. The jnanis, in trying to understand the absolute truth by studying the Vedic scriptures, they're all alone. So the advantage the bhakti yogi has is the mercy of Krishna. That we should take advantage of that. Because Krishna says, Daiviyesha gunamayi mama maya duratiya. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, very difficult to overcome. So we need as much help as we can. So if the Lord is on our side, then practically, if we're sincere, as Prabhupada says here, we can be successful. Arjuna realized this. He was the Lord's friend, Sakya relationship with the Lord. He knew Krishna, so when it came time for the battle of Kurukshetra, both he and Duryodhana had their choice. They could either take the army of Krishna or Krishna himself. The pastime was that Krishna was taking rest in one of the tents before the battle, and Duryodhana approached him first and went immediately to the front, right in front of Krishna, and asked, "My dear Lord," he said, Lord opened his eyes and said, "So what would you like, my army or me?" He said, "I want your army, tens of thousands of powerful warriors." But Arjuna was at the feet of the Lord in humility. The Lord said, "So you're happy with just me?" He said, "Very happy, Lord." So he had just the Lord, and Duryodhana and the Kauravas, they had the army of the Lord. But Arjuna knew the potency of the Lord himself. Because of the Lord's presence, because of the Lord's mercy alone, Arjuna was able to defeat even great warriors who were more powerful than him. We often think of Arjuna as being most powerful. But actually there was a warrior who was even more powerful than Arjuna. That was Karna. Karna was born, she was the first child of Kunti, and she was very, very powerful. He was born with naturally with weapons attached to his body, or his natural armor. He was born with natural armor. He was very, very powerful, but by the grace of the Lord, Arjuna became most powerful and was able to defeat even personalities like Bhishma and others in battle. We often hear with God on our side. Those who are truly virtuous, truly righteous, they can have the Lord on their side. So with the help of the Lord, the devotee can ultimately overcome all obstacles in the path of devotional service. These main obstacles, lust, anger, and greed, they're very difficult to overcome. Even death does not destroy them. When we die, we give up our body, but the subtle body goes with us into our next womb. That means our material desires go with us next life. Yam yam bhavismanam bhavanti ajatiyanta paleva. Whatever mentality one has at the moment of death, that will determine his next birth. So that those subtle material desires determine where we take our birth amongst the 8,400,000 species of life. They go. So even death does not destroy lust, or the tendency towards anger, the tendency towards greed, these things are coming. So, how powerful are these? We think subtle may not be as powerful as the gross. But actually, the subtle is more powerful than the gross. Because the subtle desires determine the gross body that you get. So we talk about subtle desires like lust and anger and greed. Don't misunderstand. They're extremely powerful. How to overcome them, ultimately by the mercy of the Lord. And the Shringa Bhaktas know that. Yato Nishringa Padato Nishringa Yato Yato Yamitato Nishringa. The Shringa is in the heart, he's outside of the door. He prays, Lord, you're in my heart. Please help me overcome these vicious material desires, just stumbling blocks on the path of self-realization. Tear from my heart the lust and the anger, which are manifestations of my desire to be independent from you. So by grace of the Lord, this can all be achieved. So Krishna's there in the heart. Tesham satari yuktanam vajatam kutipurvikam dadami buddhi yogamtam kenamamupuyantite. He says very clearly in Bhagavad Gita, to those who serve me with a little love, with some bhakti, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So he's available there in the heart. But even more so, in Kali Yuga, he's present in the sound of his name. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. He's directly, Prabhupada said, when you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Where is the Lord? Prabhupada said, poetically, he's dancing on the tip of your tongue when you chant Hare Krishna. He's present, Prabhupada said, he's present. Holy name alone is powerful enough to destroy all the anarthas in the heart and awaken love for God. That is the science of chanting Hare Krishna. All sinful reactions are destroyed. All material desires are uprooted. Plus, one gets prema. All through the mercy of the holy name. But, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu points out, and Prabhupada mentions in his purport, the problem is that we don't have enough attraction for the holy name. We don't understand the real value or how to employ it properly. The analogy has been given of a small child. If she gets a valuable gem, she just thinks it's some colorful little stone and she'll play with it and she may lose it. She doesn't understand its value. So we have to hear again and again and again the glories of the holy name. And as you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, again and again and again we hear the glories, because by hearing we learn to appreciate and then apply it properly. But this is the process. We don't have enough taste when we chant Hare Krishna. So we chant, but we're not chanting with proper quality. We're not, Prabhupada said, attentive chanting, at least to begin with, at least to be able to fix our mind on the sound of those 32 syllables for 2 hours, 120 minutes. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. The benefit is there, but we're not taking full advantage of it. Because we're in a disease condition, the example is often given of a person who has jaundice. I don't know, how many of you have had jaundice, hepatitis? I used to hear this analogy when I first tried to move and it didn't really sink in. Then I got jaundice. I got hepatitis in India. I was walking with Bhakti Vrinda Govinda Maharaj on the Purukkama path, and we came very close to the Jamuna River. But the Jamuna River was a little bit, maybe 20 yards out, and the sewer of Vrindavan, you know, the open sewers all run into the Jamuna River. So there was this one where they all met the sewers and they all came into the Jamuna River. It was all kind of fetid mud and muck and everything, like this, all the garbage and the stools and the urines and everything like that. And the Jamuna was kind of a muck. And we were walking, and I slipped, and I fell into the sewer, and I went under full head. That black, bubbly. And Govinda Maharaj, he wouldn't even give me his hand. Stick. And he pulled me out with the stick. I was black, you know, that black, mucky, sticky, and I also swallowed some of it. So I knew what was coming. So sure enough, I flew to Australia and I came down with this very high fever. But incubation period would be about what? 7 days, 10 days, yeah. So 7 days that I was flying and I got this very heavy fever, and there was just as the plane was starting, and there was a back row of seats which was reserved for the stewardesses and the captains of the long flight to Australia. So that was reserved for the I just couldn't lay down there and strap my seatbelt on the steward. You have to get out of here. And I said, just feel my hand. And she felt my hand. It was a raging fear, she thought, you can stay. So I actually woke up when we landed in Perth, which was not that long. And then somehow I took the next flight to Melbourne and immediately put me into the sannyasi quarters. And they just thought I had a flu, so all the devotees were coming around, Jai Jai Guru Day, giving me something to eat, and then taking the remnants. So then, 2 or 3 days I took a blood test. Sure enough, I had the hepatitis A, viral hepatitis. I turned as yellow as a banana peel. I was so yellow. My eye was yellow. It was a horrible disease. So anyway, I flew back to South Africa because I had good doctors through there. I didn't want to stay in Melbourne. I don't know how they allowed me on the plane, but I somehow made it back. I was sick for 5 months. And Prahlad was taking care of me. And Prahlad, you know, he's a real strict, you know, Pakka devotee. So he was very young in those days. You know, he was just with me like for years, like 17 or 18. So he was like, you have to take sugar cane juice. So this is South Africa, and one of their main crops is sugar canes. So he would get sugar cane, and he wanted me to chew on it. But I always heard that when you have jaundice, sweet things taste very bitter because you're diseased. I probably use that analogy. Because we're diseased, the holy name tastes bitter. It's not sweet. Madhur, 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 bhaje, we hear in the kirtan. The sweet chanting, because, you know, devotees are like the sweets. We're along the Bengali tradition with lots of sweets. So Mahaprabhu didn't appear in Gujarat or South India. He appeared with all the sweets. Are you go to Bengali market in Calcutta, the Lord. So devotees like the sweets, but when you have the jaundice, the sweet, it tastes horrible. I can tell you. I thought it was just some poetic description, but actually it was a fact. I couldn't eat much, but I would eat a little bit, and then he would bring the sugar cane. Oh no, I don't have a word. Put it in my mouth. But gradually, as I got cured, because it's a liver disease, and you know, you just have to basically wait, because the liver is one part of the body that can heal itself. I think the eye and the liver, if they're damaged, even if the liver is destroyed, if there's a healthy part of the liver left, it can grow back. So I was very sick, but I was very careful. I took a lot of rest, and I slept 22 hours a day. But eventually, I was getting better, and as the yellow went away, and my appetite returned, suddenly that horrible juice, which just tasted like, it began to take on a little bit of a sweet flavor to it. And by the time Prahlad was able to determine I was completely healthy, when I would hanker for that sweet juice, and I wanted, you know, milk sweets, because you didn't have any milk, and then that was better. So I thought, this analogy the Prabhupada has given is very appropriate. Because of the disease condition, the sweetness of the holy name, we don't taste it. But as we make progress, we keep chanting. Nevertheless, it's like medicine. Even though we don't have much attraction, because we promise Gurudev, then we chant. This is the value of our vows. This is why we take vows. We take vows because we have a tendency towards the bad and not the good. But we take the vow. Yes, sir, I will abstain from what you consider bad, and I will do what you consider good, because I have faith in you. I have faith in your instructions. I know you're right. We used to have a television program in America. It was called Father Knows Best. Remember that?
Yeah.
Father Knows Best. And it was always how the kid was doing something wrong. Father would say he shouldn't do it. And then, you know, eventually the children learn, actually, Dad, you were right. It always had a happy ending. Yeah, right. So that which is sweet tastes bitter. And you can always use, sometimes you can use these analogies conversely. That which is that which is, when you have jaundice, that which is sweet tastes bitter. So the opposite would be that which is bitter tastes sweet. So that sense gratification. Sense gratification actually is like poison for the soul. But we take it as something that is sweet. So what's the nice analogy for that? Well, I happened to one time be in South India. Where was it? Oh, I was doing my trip in South India. The first time I went to South India, just after taking sannyas. And I was near a hovala. I was walking, actually in a hovala, for all practical purposes. And I was going with my guide. We'd already gone up and visited the nine temples, and I was, the next day I was just down at that Lakshmi Srinivasa temple at the bottom. And I was spending a couple of days there, actually, with the priest. He was a very nice old man. So we were out for a walk one day, and we heard a scream. And we ran there. A horrible scream, actually. It was a man screaming like death. And he'd been bitten by a cobra. We didn't see the cobra, but his leg, you could see the two marks, and you could see his leg was swelling. Right? It swells very quickly. He was swelling like this. And he was in great pain. So I said, you know, get a doctor. But, you know, Olam's in the middle of nowhere. You know, doctors in these villages. So he said, no, we'll get the mantra chanter. It was a Muslim man. They called for the snake charmer. So that it didn't take very long, you know, because these things happen quite routinely in India, I guess. So there was a Muslim man came, and by this time the man was foaming. I've never seen anything like it. It was like, you know, his legs were in it, and he was turning different colors, and the foam was coming from his mouth. So this tantric, he began chanting the mantras, various mantras. And they sounded like Vedic mantras to me, but they said he was a Muslim man, but he was chanting the mantras. And you could see little improvement. We stayed there like 1 hour. And then, so what he did is he gave him neem leaves. And he said, because the man was semi-conscious, how do the neem leaves taste? And he said, very sweet. That which is bitter tasted sweet because he was diseased. He was suffering from a snake bite. So we had to go because there was something other. Pujari said, he'll be okay. I said, he'll be okay. Look at this guy. He's like all bloated and foaming from the mouth. Eyes are rolled back and he's trembling. I said, no, safe trouble. This is no problem. So we went and we came back an hour and a half later and the Tantri was still there chanting the mantras and he had this like this little fan. He was kind of bamboo fan. He was fanning, smiling. So they take some meat and stuff in his mouth. How was he tasting? It's tasting sweet. Oh, 5 hours it took. We came back and forth. I just sat there and watched this. It was quite amazing. 5 hours it took. But gradually, as he was getting better by the mantras, because there's something missing, hard to explain, but through the mantra, the snake bite was reversed. I kept saying, why is he giving him neem leaves? He said, well, it's a test, because as soon as he thinks the neem leaves are bitter, then we know he's better. As long as he thinks they're sweet, he's still sick. So finally, the foam went away, and you know, the swelling even went down. At one point, the man just kind of stood up and shook it off. Tantric said, he's better now. And he gave him neem leaves. He said, how did it taste? He stood him up. Oh, bitter. He was cured. So I thought that's another analogy that when we are diseased, we consider sense gratification, which is very bitter, we consider it to be something very sweet. We like that, we prefer that. Right? But after we advance sometime in Krishna consciousness, then what happens? We consider the sense gratification, which we see as sweet, we realize it's bitter. And the holy name, which we consider to be bitter, we don't have any taste. Eventually, when we get cured, we think it's sweet. Everything's in right order. So Ayurveda is just bitter is best. So we consider it to be bitter, but it's good for you. You keep chanting Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
And the test, because there has to be some scientific evidence. How is it that you're making advancement? That sense gratification which you consider very sweet. Money is the honey. Money is the honey. It's so sweet. It can't be beat. That desire for material enjoyment, when you actually begin to think, actually, this is actually becoming bitter to me. Like Bhagavan Gaul Thakur. We told briefly his story, how he was visiting the prostitute Chintamani. She said, if you put as much effort into loving God as you are to enjoying me, you would be a saintly person. So he used to have this illicit activity. But then he went to Vrindavan on the way, actually took his eyes out because he still had these lusty desires. So he knew, he had this experience. He was in a fallen condition before. When he went to Vrindavan, he was there 800 years, he became a great saint. And he has a famous verse, he said, whenever I think how he used to do those things, how he used to enjoy that illicit sex life, he said, now I simply spit at the thought. It eventually became very bitter. That which was very sweet, that enjoyment. Now he's thinking of it, this is something better. And that which is bitter, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama.
Not that we consider it bitter, but we don't have that attachment that we should have for chanting to get the ultimate benefit. That's the point. We're neophytes. We have little attraction, but we have to be fascinated. We have to be immersed. We have to be able to chant. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Mahaprabhu says, if you chant properly, in a humble state of mind, tolerant, avoiding a sense of false prestige, ready for it. If you're chanting properly, then you can sit and you can chant 24 hours a day. If you have that attraction for the holy name. For Krishna, it's like we told the story about Malati, my god sister Malati, she had jaundice, she had hepatitis. In those initial stages, it's just completely overwhelming. So she was in the hospital, all she could do was just barely sit up in her bed and chant all day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
So Prabhupada, so kind, he came to visit her in the hospital. He came to visit her and he walked in and And he said, "Oh, Malati, how are you?" "Oh, Prabhupada, I'm so sorry. I could have duty service, and all I did was just chant Hare Krishna all day." I said, "No, that is the goal." He said, "Because you Western boys and girls are so restless, I have to engage in so many services. But the goal is to be so attached to Krishna and His holy name, realizing them to be non-different, that you can sit peacefully and chant Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama."
So that comes, of course, in advanced stage. As long as there is those impurities in the heart, you can't have that full attraction to Krishna. As Jesus said, you can't love mammon, you can't love, you know, the material and God simultaneously. It's one or the other. It's black or white. Like Jesus said, you're either with me, you're either for me, or you're against me. So that means his teachings. So gradually they want to come to the stage. So how do we do it? We have to take the medicine religiously. You have to take the medicine as it's prescribed in the bottle. Just like, is there a doctor in the house? Yes, there is. He's a doctor. You get sick today, no problem. We have a doctor here. But it's not enough just to have the doctor. The doctor will give you the medicine, he'll give you the bottle, and you always have that little white, paper that goes around it, and it says exactly how to take the medicine. But if you don't take it exactly, you won't get the full result. Like antibiotics. No one likes to take antibiotics. At least I know when I take antibiotics, they make my head spin. I'm very sensitive to them. But antibiotics, you have to take them for a course. It's usually about 5 days.
I think
5 or 10 days. So you take the antibiotics, you have the inflammation, you have the pus, right? You start to take it, and you see, very quickly, the swelling goes down, and it appears. So sometimes people stop taking the antibiotics because the initial symptoms are gone. But the point is, the virus is still inside, like boils. Boils, the boil virus, actually you've got a big boil, I've got several scars on my body I can show you. Probably going to India. You get the boil, and then, this is kind of a gross example, but if you squeeze out all the pus, it's not enough, because inside is the head, they call it the head of the boil, right? It's right way deep down inside, and you have to go with tweezers, and you have to pull that out. And then the virus is gone. It's not just the symptom, but the seed is there, right? Oh my gosh, what an example of that. How did it come to that?
Poison of material desire and the course of antibiotics.
Oh, the antibiotics, yeah. So the antibiotics initially takes away the symptoms, but the core of the virus is there. So you have to take it for 5 or 10 days, and then it kills the virus as well. So we start to chant, and we feel there's some result is coming, but then we become slack. And later on, some serious problems come, and we wonder, how is that possible? It's because the root cause has not been eliminated from the heart. It takes the chanting a long time to act. Prabhupada told us one time it took him 30 years to perfect his japa. It doesn't mean that Prabhupada was like us having to perfect it. But for our example, he came like that. As we say, there's a saying, the race is not over till it's over. It's not over till you cross the border of the material spiritual worlds, which is the Viraja River. It's a river that runs between material and spiritual worlds. And your race is not over till you're on the other side, safely on the other shore in Vaikuntha, or better yet, in Goloka. So we can never let up. Another nice example is if you're, you know, it's not easy, but because we're sadhakas, it'll become easy when we're on the Nuba. Very spontaneous, but something like pushing a big ball up a hill. If you keep pushing, as soon as you stop, it's no question of staying in one place. If you slowly start coming back downward. You can't just stop with this heavy object. You have to keep pushing. If you stop, then you start, you have to keep. So, the same thing with chanting. Sit properly, Prabhupada said. Chant attentively. And try to chant in the mood that Mahaprabhu gives us in Sri Shastakam. The whole thing is based on chanting Hare Krishna. Oh, son of Maharaj Nanda, I'm your eternal servant, but somehow I've fallen into this ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean, fix me at his animated lotus feet. Beginning with chanting for material deliverance, but freedom from all our miseries and suffering. But actually, really, the purpose of chanting is to develop divine love for the Lord. First, these obstacles have to come, but it takes a determined effort. So we should consider that because this is the very human karma for this age, we consider it our most important activity, and when we do find time for chanting, then we should fix ourselves, it should be quality, and we should give our heart and soul. Whatever it is, it may not be that we can dedicate 2 hours every morning, but whenever that time comes during the day, it should be with fixed attention to get the maximum results. And remember that, how do we know we're making progress? How do you know you're on the way to San Francisco? Because you pass through Tucson, Arizona, you pass through Los Angeles. There's certain indications you're on the road to San Francisco. So what is the indication that we're actually chanting successfully? That after some time, we consider those sweet material desires to be a little bit bitter, and we get some actual taste we like. We feel the sweetness in that chanting of Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
That's why kirtan is so important, because in his Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami states that this congregational chanting is most important. He stresses the congregational chanting, actually as the Yuga Dharma. He says, in the Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami says, this kirtan, congregational, when all the devotees come together and chant very loudly, he said, this is especially important. Why? He said, because in the midst of that loud kirtan, of so many devotees chanting together, he said, even the neophyte can experience some deep spiritual emotion. So we need to come together like that. So we get those little glimpses. You have some, that was a nectar kirtan. We got some appreciation, some sweetness. Our material desires were subdued. We got a little taste for them. So kirtan is all that we have, so we have to give our heart and soul. And then this verse, it's scientific. It has to happen. If it's not happening, it's because we're not applying the formula properly. But it will happen, for sure and certain. So we have to stick to the process and eventually reap the results. Gantara Shimai Bhagavatam Ki.
Jai.
Any questions?
Please explain about sincerity.
This?
About sincerity.
Sincerity.
What is this and how can we increase it?
Sincerity means that when we're tempted by anything other than Krishna consciousness, we say no. Even if the desire is still there. We're sincere that even that we're tempted, we say no. That's a sign of sincerity. Like, some years ago they had a campaign in this country against drug addiction. Drug use. And they had a little motto for their campaign, because it's always nice to have a motto. Like we say, chant Hare Krishna, your life will be sublime. What do they say for Coca-Cola?
It's the real thing.
The real thing, or?
And Pepsi was be all it can be.
Yeah, that's it. So they came up with this slogan, I think it was in the Clinton years, that the slogan was just say no.
Nancy Reagan.
Yeah, she was her. Usually it's the first lady who works on these humanitarian issues. So it's just say no. It's a catchy phrase. So it's true, like, you know, the drug dealer would come, and, you know, somebody in school would come, one of your friends, or you meet somebody in the street, and, you know, it's catchy. I'm just saying no. But if you can, even though the temptation is there, if you can say no and avoid it, that's a sign of sincerity. That's one way of we can say no sincerely. Prabhupada, in that regard, Prabhupada said about fall downs. He said, if you fall down once, you can be excused. He said, maybe if you fall down twice, you can also be excused. But he said, if you fall down three times, he said, that means you're insincere. You're not sincere. So we can maybe extend it a little bit because it's Kali Yuga. I mean, we have seen devotees who have gone off, deviated, and come back and become very nice devotees. But the point is that if one repeatedly, like if you become a repeated offender, then they don't treat you very well in the courts. You know, if you, there's some crime, okay, well, how many times he's never done it? Officer, he's never even got a parking ticket. Okay, then there's some leniency. But if again and again and again and again and again, then the state considers this person's a hardened criminal. So we have to deal with him differently. I think in California they have this, you okay? They have what's called the three felonies?
10, 20 life.
10, 20 life.
Yeah. Third time.
Three strikes and you're out.
You know, it is somewhat lenient. Consider a felony as something quite serious. So, first time, okay, second time, the third time, you've had your chances. So, dealing with, in Christian consciousness, of course, to take each case individually, I remember that when Prabhupada was in America one time, there was a devotee. He was quite nonsense, actually. He was doing different things. But he was sincere, but he just had a really hard time. And I think that my personal feeling is that the devotees were a little hard on him, and they asked him to leave, even before Prabhupada came to the temple. So he snuck back in the temple. And he went into Prabhupada's room. He was able to get into Prabhupada's room and tell his story, his side of the story. So then, Prabhupada called the temple president. The temple president was furious. He said, well, hear the other side of the story. And then Prabhupada heard that. Prabhupada's conclusion was, he said, let him stay for now. The temple president was aghast. And then Prabhupada said, you have to understand that Lord Chaitanya is very, 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 to the five times, very merciful. But that doesn't mean that we should take advantage of that mercy. You know, there's a thin line there, but, you know, Lord knows our sincerity. But we're not sincere if we repeatedly. So, at least we should consider ourselves that if we repeatedly do something, it's a sign of insincerity. But even then, you can become sincere by how to become sincere. Actually, any qualities that we manifest or that we develop in Krishna consciousness are generally as a result of good association. Therefore, Mahaprabhu says, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Shastukhoi, Labhamadha, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Siddhikhoi. That we should always seek out a good association. And what is good association? We may consider, well, we have to consider also that in any group of Vaishnavas, there's Kanishthas, there's Madhyaman, there's Uttamas. So we should try to seek out the higher association. But at the same time, we shouldn't be too judgmental. If any Vaishnava is above and beyond many times a common sense enjoyer, one time the devotee said to Prabhupada, you're the greatest Vaishnava. Prabhupada blushed and he looked down and he said, a Vaishnava, he said, is a very glorious thing. I'm just trying to become a Vaishnava. So, any Vaishnava we should respect. But we should develop close friendships with devotees who are at our same stage of Krishna consciousness. And if we find someone more advanced than us, we shouldn't be envious, because Vaishnavas are very merciful. They're willing to share all the good fortune with others. We should glorify that devotee and serve him and try to gain some of his good qualities. One time Prabhupada asked Brahmananda Prabhu to give a lecture on 10 offenses of the holy name. So Brahmananda was lecturing on the first offense, which is to offend a Vaishnava who's dedicated his life for spreading the glories of the Lord. So Brahmananda was saying, this means the spiritual master, this means Sri Prabhupada. We should be very careful not to offend Prabhupada. And Prabhupada interrupted his lecture. He said, it doesn't just mean the spiritual master. He said, it means any Vaishnava. So, by associating with the Vaishnavas, we advance. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he stated it like, by associating with the Vaishnavas, we imbibe their good qualities. It's almost as something mystical or transcendental. By associating with the devotees, we imbibe, which means we imbue. By the association, we gain their good qualifications. So if we find ourselves lacking in anything in Krishna consciousness, then we all consider ourselves to be lacking. So if it's sincerity, then you should seek out a devotee who you consider to be sincere. You should serve that devotee, associate with that devotee, learn from that devotee, and that quality will rub off. Of course, the best way to associate with devotees is to hear from devotees. It's like we talk about associating with the spiritual master. Like Prabhupada described, the best way to associate is like Krishna says to Arjuna, Tatshrinu, you listen to me. As my student, this is your relationship to serve. Pratiprashana Sevya, to hear and to act on those instructions. So, if you find someone you consider sincere, then you hear from that personality and then you develop the quality of sincerity. That is the nature of transcendental life. Hear from Bhakti Vrinda Govinda Maharaj, who is one of our most sincere, dedicated devotees, fighting for the property of Kasvasana. Okay, we have to go on Harinam, to take a shot and go on Harinam, so we'll conclude there. Natara Shimai Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Hari Prabhupada Ki Jai, Om Namah Shivaya.